I hoped that I had more intercontinental friends back then, because I felt lonely.
Mana is a Polish-Japanese influencer who has built up a large TikTok following. Beneath the babbliness of her online personality, I found a thoughtful person who overcame many difficulties and grew from being embarrassed of her Japanese background to embracing it. You're about to hear our conversation here on Cross Continentals, a podcast about multilingual people with parents from different continents. This is season one, which focuses on what's it like to be Japanese Polish.
Manae, I found you online. You have many followers, over 600,000. I'm curious, how did you get your start on social media?
Well, I started recording when I was like 18, 19, because I wanted to kind of make fun of one of the girls. Like, it wasn't like bullying, but you know, like kids stuff. She wasn't mad though, like she was fine. She know that was just for fun. And I started to gain more followers than her in like 2 weeks. So I was like, okay, let's do it. That's gonna be cool if I start recording, and maybe one day I will make some money. And that happened.
So was the primary motivation money?
No, at first I was like, oh, okay, I can do it for fun. It's funny. Not many people in my age used to record. It was really easy to get a lot of views. Now it's a little bit different, but yeah. I did it for fun.
Why do you think you got so many followers so quickly?
I think that's because I look exotic to people, and I was something new, different than white people on TikTok in Poland, because so Europe is now very colorful, but Poland is still very white country. Not many colored people are in Poland, and they are not they're not noticeable in on the streets, and there is a lot of fans of Korea, Japan, anime, K-pop that started following me. And yeah, that I think that's why people watch me, because I look exotic.
How do you think your content is different from the content of other TikTokers in Poland?
I record a lot of trends, dailies, like influencers do, but I record a lot of about Japan, my trips, my experience, some learning tips, something like that. When I started recording, it wasn't that common on TikTok that someone was doing video about Japan. So yeah, I think that's why I become popular.
Do you know who are your followers? Do you like run data on them? Do you know the demographics, where they're from?
When I checked, I think that most of them was from Warsaw and from Silesia. So Silesia is where I am from. And age, it's like 13 to 18, most of. But they grow up with me. They follow me when I was 19, and I'm 23. So when they were 13, they are now like older. So I don't really know how much are they now, to be honest, because they change a lot.
Of course. So your fans are growing with you effectively.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of content does work?
Following the trends is important, but I'm trying to not do that anymore because I think that's not my content. Well, of course, if the trend is something that I can fit my content to, fine. But now...
Now you feel like it's time to maybe do your own stuff more. Did I get that correctly?
Yes, yes. It's better to make my own videos like daily or study advice than following the trends.
Do you ever get recognized on the streets? Do people come up to you and comment on your content?
Yes, sometimes it happens. The first time when I was recognized was when I was 19 in bus. I was really sleepy, in bad mood, and I was wearing my hoodie and I took it off. And girl from the end of the bus ran to me and pointed at me and said, "Can I take a photo with you?" That made my day. Actually, that made my day. So yeah, people recognize me on the streets, in school, in bus. That's cute. I like it.
There's also sort of the other side of things, right? Because not everyone's always like positive and upbeat. And I think you're also getting sometimes negative comments and some creepy people. How do you deal with that negativity online?
I just don't answer the hate comments. I don't have time. I don't have energy. When I was younger, of course, I was like, "Oh my god, what have I done? My heart." But now I'm like too old. I don't want to waste my energies for that. And that's how I live. It's better.
And you told me, for example, you told me a story when we first met that you had an ex-boyfriend, right, who told you that he knew you from social media before he actually met you. And he said that he used to masturbate to your posts online. And how do you think you would react to that now? How you've changed since?
I was a teenager, like, really dumb girl. And I didn't know how to react. So my small teenage brain thought, "Wow, thanks." I thought that was a compliment. And now I'm kind of disgusted about it. I think it's funny because that he had audacity to say it in my face. Kind of brave of him. He was dumb too, like, we're kids. But I'm kind of disgusted, still disgusted.
Yeah, it's funny how we change. You know, you grow, you get experience, you start to create boundaries. Definitely. That's one of the nice things about getting older. And all of this social media stuff has worked out really great for you, right? I mean, you are bringing in income and you're an ambassador for Oyakata, right? You're a brand ambassador for them. Can you tell a little bit about what does it mean?
I had to sign a contract with them and I agree that I will record for their profile two videos per month. We have a good connection. I've got good connection with this company. They're really nice for me and understandable when I say that I can't record right now because I'm at university and have a hard time with my diploma. They're like, "Okay, take your time." So it's really good to me. And because I'm a student, being ambassador is really good, like, the way to live, because I have not only being ambassador, like being influencer, because I have money that I earn, can live, and do not, I don't have to worry about tomorrow, because students that work, they don't have time to study, or if they study, they don't have money, and if they don't have time, energy, like their mental health, like
plummets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like a lot. So I'm really grateful about that, that I can be an influencer, that I can be ambassador. It's something that I'm really, really grateful about.
Are you choosing companies based on connection to Japan, or, you know, or are you pretty open about who's going to be your partner?
I don't only collaborate with Japanese connected companies. I used to do a lot of different collaborations, like contact lenses. I know that's Korean. Some food, cosmetics, clothes, they are worldwide. And TV series.
So you promote TV series as well?
Yeah, I promoted like one or two programs that I, on Nickelodeon, I guess it was. And books.
What kind of books?
Last time I was promoting art therapy book. I'm studying art therapy, and the book was using bibliotherapy. It's art therapy using words, books. I was very happy about promoting that that book, and I will use that book in my diploma.
Fantastic. Very much in line with your interests. Your social media presence is also sort of in line with your background and your interests. You were born in Poland, and you lived most of your life in Poland, right? Can you talk a little bit about your story?
I was born in a Polish hospital, and my mom didn't like it. Didn't like it.
She didn't like the Polish hospital, and your mom is Japanese.
Yeah. Polish hospitals weren't good those days, and she was in shock. She didn't know that hospitals can be that bad. I think that it wouldn't be that bad if she had complications with pregnancy that doctors didn't know how to deal with. And my sister was born in Japan because of the issues she had in Polish hospitals. And I'm kind of jealous of that. It's kind of cool to have Tokyo in your documents.
It's cool to have Poland as well in your documents if you go to Japan, for example.
In Japan, yeah, but I live in Poland, so it's cool to have Tokyo in your documents. But yeah, I think in Japan I would say, it's so cool to have Poland.
So hold on, let's just summarize. So your mom had you in Poland, and she was so fed up with the experience she got at the Polish hospital that she decided to go to Japan to have your sister, effectively.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she, after having your sister, did she stay in Japan or did she come back to Poland?
For a while she stayed with us because she couldn't take a newborn baby to Poland. So we had to stay in Japan for a while, and my mom had problems with teeth, so we stayed because Japan had better dentists.
And how long did you stay in Japan?
I think that was like 1-2 years, something like that.
And you went to a Japanese kindergarten there?
Yeah, I did. Yes, It was my sister was is 2 years younger, so I went to Japanese kindergarten. It was fun. I don't remember much because I was 2 or 3 years old, and that's a long time ago. But all I can remember from the kindergarten is good memories.
And then you came back to Poland, and you lived in Poland ever since. Did I get that right?
Yes, yes. I came back to Poland, and now I live to those days in Poland.
How was your childhood like? What kind of kid were you?
Very energetic. Like, I got into many troubles. I was loud, but very joyful. Happy kid that always smiled to everyone. I had hard time to learn many things, but I was really open kid to everyone and yeah, friendly.
Were you the only non-Polish child at schools that you went to? Did you go to Polish schools throughout, or did you have more international environments?
I moved out a lot of times, and I had to change a lot of times school. And I think in one school, I had a kid that was from another country. No, not another country. I met people that were from another country, like Ukraine or Slovenia. But only in one school, I met a girl that was from another...
continent?
Yes, continent. And I never spoke to her, but I know that she saw me and I saw her and she was Asian.
And you never spoke to each other?
No, she was like very young. She was too young for me. I was in the second year in high school and she was in secondary school. I know she saw me. We had a connection. Never spoke to each other, but we know.
Were you seeking out people who were a little bit more multicultural, or did you feel comfortable with sort of your environment and having Polish friends and going to Polish schools?
To be honest, I hoped that I had more intercontinental friends back then, because I felt lonely, like really lonely with my problems. The only one that understands my problem back then was my sister, that struggled with the same problems, but she was my family. She is my family. So I wanted to have conversation about it with someone else, but I couldn't. But I like my white people. My white friends are cool. I only had white friends. Sometimes they used to bully me for the fun, and I know that that's for fun, and then I'm okay with that. I bully myself
tease.
Too.
They tease you.
They tease.
Hopefully
me.
Not bully.
They tease me.
Bullies much stronger.
Okay. Sometimes I get sad, but I'm like, I'm strong. It doesn't bother me at all.
So you put up a strong face.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah, I have to.
Why do you think you have to?
Well, when I was a kid, it was really hard to me understand why people is laughing and pointing at me. I didn't understand at all, because from my side, I looked exactly like them. And I have two arms, two eyes, hairs knows what's wrong with me. And I really didn't understand what's going on. I just really wanted to have friends then, back then, yeah. Now I don't care.
You don't care what they think about you?
Yeah, I don't care about what people think. Like, I think that if people want to be my friends, they just are my friends. I don't have to fight for them and ask them to notice me and accept me. I don't know what else should friends do. But
support.
Yeah. Support, yeah.
And do you think that experience has brought you closer to your sister, since she was the person who could understand the situation you were in?
To be honest, I don't really know. I was her support in everything, and she was my support in everything. So I don't really think that being a kind of different from the white society in Poland was that glue sticking us together. But yeah, it could help.
Did you have any sort of practical ways of supporting each other in those moments? Like, did you do anything for each other that helped you through the downsides of being different?
As I told before, I was a really happy, friendly kid. So I first started laughing at mean comments, at jokes. And when people saw that I don't really care, they just didn't care about me much. But my sister didn't handle it well as me. So I kind of teach her how to deal with it.
And did it help her?
Not that much as I hoped so. But a little bit, yeah, I think it's... Yeah, she's totally different from me, so it's understandable that she doesn't... it didn't work as I thought it could be. But yeah, she's doing great right now, I think.
You told me that growing up, your mom was trying to keep you connected to Japanese culture. How did that look like?
My mom really wanted me to learn Japanese. Writing, reading, speaking, learning about the culture, myth, and etc. But I didn't want to. I had friends. And it was fine, but I still had a lot of comments from friends, from the people I didn't know, about my race. People was laughing at me. And I didn't want to show my Asian part. So I tried to whitewash myself, like, a lot. I used lemon juice on my face to make my skin whiter, brighter, yeah.
Did it work? Lemon juice and skin?
Yeah, but it hurts a lot. and I, when I was a little bit older, I bleached my hair, so... They were blonde. I started wearing contacts, wear makeup that made my eyes rounder. Yeah, and wear like the most basic white girl in Poland, like, to fit in, just to people don't notice me. Like, I don't know why I did that.
Did it work?
No. It didn't. The worst thing is that it didn't work.
But you are trying to fit in, obviously, like most kids do.
Well, I was accepted by a lot of people, but in what I started bleaching my hair and wearing blue contact lenses when I was like 18, so people were accepting me, and everything was fine. I had a boyfriend, I went to a good school, I had a good grades, everything was fine. But in my head, I was still a little kid that had bullying problems, and people didn't accept that little kid, and I wanted to fit in. When I was 18, then I had my first money, so I wanted to do something by myself, to myself.
When did that change in your mind? When did you stop trying so hard to look blonde, have blue eyes?
When I met my ex, that was a real fan of anime, Japanese culture, and books. He always was nice and kind to me. He really understood my problems which I was dealing with, he told me that's my attitude, that's great, that I'm different, that I should be happy about it and show, and that's fine that I'm half Japanese. And what are you doing, Mana? And thanks to him, like, I'm right here. We broke up, but we are still friends, good friends. Yeah.
So he changed the way you thought about yourself, effectively.
Yes, he changed a lot. I accepted myself because of him. He showed me that you can be different and be yourself, and that's nothing wrong with it. I'm really grateful for that.
What is your relationship or connection to Japan like? What is it like now for you?
I like being half and half. Of course, my bigger half is in Poland because I grew up here. But I have a lot of respect for my Japanese side. I would like to learn more. I'm kind of disappointed by myself that I didn't learn when I was a kid and have opportunity to learn. Now I don't have time for learning Japanese. But I have an app, so I'm using sometimes app to study. Anyways, I'm going on Christmas to Japan and gonna visit a lot of my family and a few friends, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm gonna post a lot. I really changed my mindset about Japan. When I was a kid, I was so embarrassed that I was in Japan one more time and one more time. Like every year, I went to Japan every year, and I was embarrassed about it. And now I'm very proud of it that I'm going to Japan. Like, yay!
What does it feel like when you're in Japan? Do you feel like your Japanese side comes out more? Do you feel like a foreigner? You know, how does Japan feel like to you?
I don't really know, because last time when I was in Japan, I was 18. So it was the time I wasn't accepting myself, and I bleached my hair in Japan.
So this trip is going to be sort of point of change for you, right? I mean, this is new yeah. Manae coming to Japan effectively.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That change come with COVID, I guess, when I start dating my ex. And he was very excited about meeting my mom and her culture and asked me a lot of questions. And that made me feel that, okay, maybe it's something interesting. Like he's not making fun of us. And after that, I really wanted to go to Japan and see those things one more time from a different angle, like someone who is part of it, not part of it, like pushed into and not feeling well in that. But I'm really excited to go to Japan right now.
So you feel like you aren't forced into being Japanese anymore? Like
yeah,
it's sort of
yeah.
more choice, more of your choice. Are you going to speak Japanese to your family and friends, or do you speak English?
With my mom and my sister, I'm going to speak Polish with my mom and grandma, Japanese, and with my friends, Japanese and English. So it's going to be multi-culti.
Got it. That's a good word. Yeah. Multi-culti, I like that. And so at home, now with your mom, do you speak Japanese?
Yes and no. I understand more Japanese than I can say. That's because I don't use Japanese at all for every day. The only person I speak Japanese is my mom. And I don't live with my mom for like 3-4 years now.
Do you think you'll ever move to Japan or really anywhere else outside of Poland?
I always wanted to go somewhere where people speak only English. And my choice was Canada, Toronto. I love big cities. I was in love in America, but when I went to USA, I noticed that it's not what I was expecting. So I checked Canada. And I said, okay, maybe that's the good, that's better choice. I don't think about living in Japan because I don't know how to communicate well. I know that I can learn and live there, but culture is a little bit too square for me. And I like being free. And Europe gives me that kind of freedom that I need. I don't know how about America, so, but we'll see, maybe one day. And in Japan, therapy isn't that popular as in Europe, because in Japan, there is still a mindset that if you go to therapy, there's something wrong with you.
You're studying art therapy and you seem very passionate about it as well. Why did you choose art therapy?
When I was 14, my sister had hard times and I really wanted to help her. So I started reading about her condition. And I liked that what I was reading, the articles. And I read more and more and more. And somehow I ended up making my whole life to go to this university and become therapist because I wanted to help her. And now I'm thinking about going to after art therapy to psychology and make a specialist psychology of children and teenagers.
You've got an interesting specialty because you're mixing art and therapy. And I wonder, probably a lot of people, including me, are not familiar with that intersection. What is exactly that like? And, you know, how do you combine mm-hmm. art and therapy?
Art therapy is something like psychology with therapy. But art therapy is not only art like painting, sculpture, but music, video, photo, dance, drama. There's a lot of kind of art therapy. It's for every people, like everyone. There is a quote from my university. Visualization is easier than verbalization. And when kid wants to express their feelings, it's hard to them because they don't know how to name their feelings. But when the kid paint, make music, or I don't know, make photos, whatever.
Podcasts?
Could be. And therapists ask, point everything on the painting and ask about it. Kid can describe everything very well. And art therapy is not about art, like art should be beautiful and we should hang it in museum. No, it's something for us. It's the process. Of course, if the final art is beautiful, show to everyone and be proud of it. But the most of it is the process.
Does it mean you have a special relationship with art? Does your major change the way you look at art?
I always remember that I was drawing something, paintings and doing sculpture. And I went to art high school. But I actually changed my mind, my mindset about art when I went to university. Art high school taught me that it has to be like this and this, proportions, like lightning. Maybe my paintings now are worse than in high school, but I can feel them better. I don't think that's their good proportions. That's not what's important to me the most. I want to tell something, tell a story of those painting. So, yeah.
Manae, this has been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for your time.